This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
Clip of the day, kind of staying with the theme of the NBA and where to go from here. I know I've been on it a lot, but just it's too juicy not to go away from, or to go away from, I should say, as Adam Silver continues to pull away from any notion that flopping is a real thing, even though we just watched what we watched with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on an MVP season. This was an interesting one from the Bill Simmons podcast. He sat down with Zach Lowe, both NBA guys, and had a long discussion about maybe the noise surrounding flopping and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander might have actually impacted his play on the court in the Western Conference Finals. Here's that discussion.
All the negative national discourse on OKC's flopping, tweak how SGA played a little bit over the course of this series in a negative way.
I actually thought a little bit about that because they're so buttoned up of like, well, the noise doesn't affect us. We don't care about the noise. We don't care about the officials. We don't care about the media. We don't care what's being said. They must be aware on some level. Like, I think the tipping point for me was, what was it? Underdog Sports made the fake operation game. Then they got a cease and desist letter from Shai's attorneys or something right. like that. I was like, okay, so I wonder if this just is this shrieking noise is in his head at all. But then he goes out and shows out like that in game seven. And I think the thing that really bothered him was Victor Wembanyama. I probably don't think the flopping thing bothered him.
Okay. So for the fact that Bill Simmons is even bringing it up though, like, do you think that it was in his head? And I've wondered that too. Like, enough of us are talking about it now where this isn't like the Michael thing, you know, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes benefiting from cheating. Yeah, but at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is that good. He is that good. And he might have a few things here and there that he does that people find questionable, where he's kind of acting like he's going to go out of bounds and maybe step back in, and then they nail him, and then there's a penalty called. Yeah, he does some of those things, but it's not basketball. You know, it's football. It's not every time the ball is in his hands, Patrick Mahomes does something like this. We've had several players that we get critical of in whatever sport we're watching, but not quite to the extent of what we've seen under Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Michael. So the fact that it's a question, and I think other people have had that question, is like, when does it get to the guy? Part of my brain actually feels bad for the dude because he's the MVP. And Mike, this is going to, 10 years from now, we might not really care or remember or recall or whatever. But right now, everyone outside of the Thunder fan base looks at that MVP rate, that MVP award, kind of like you were being awarded for doing the thing that we hate so much about the NBA. I love the NBA. I still love the NBA. But I can't. This is why I'm so passionate about this, because it's ruining the game. Now, yeah, they brought up the operation game that that Unethical Hoops put together. I mean, it's kind of in the name of what they're going to do. They created. You've played the game Operation before, Michael? You've heard of Operation? You played it before?
I have heard it. Haven't played.
So you know what it is. It's like a little guy, and you got to try to do surgery on him, pull stuff out of there, and if you like touch the side of the board at all where the wound is open, it buzzes and you got to start all over. Well, they essentially, Unethical Hoops, created a new operation style board game that mocks his foul drawing reputation. It lets players guard a cartoon SGA with the slightest touch triggering a buzzer that represents a referee's whistle. Well, Shea, obviously that got to him because he is demanding, he and his legal team are demanding all copies of Unethical Hoops board game be destroyed. So clearly, you know, he had enough of that, and there's enough people talking about it, but these guys flat out made a board game about it, and he's taking it to that next level, saying, no, this is ridiculous. We got to get after this and get rid of it. So I do wonder if even for Shea, deep down, you know, he's going to look back at this, and I don't know if he does the social media thing. I don't follow him, but he's got to see how many things are out there on a daily basis about his style of play when he's the MVP, Michael. He's the best player in basketball, is what that award states. Not Joker, not Wimby, not Luka, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who's having a board game battle that mocks his play. And it bothered him so much that he's putting out a cease and desist order. So, yeah, it did get to him. Great players, man. Great players rise above that stuff. This is why I went on that rant with Joker. Like, you can't, if you don't care about this game, if you're just, like, otherworldly talented, can you make it in the NBA without caring? Yes. There are plenty of players that, okay, how about this example, Michael? Like an Allen Iverson. He was always given criticism because he didn't really practice and didn't take practice seriously. And he had that rant, one of the great rants of sports, about practice. But then again, he bled on the court. He gave everything and all the injuries that he had while playing. So some things, yeah, you tend to wash away. But that guy wasn't being accused of not caring about basketball because when you watched him play, that didn't pop into your brain. Maybe he's a ball hog a little bit, but there was never a notion that he wasn't giving it his all out there while he played. But Shea is a guy that has an entire NBA population fan base outside of Oklahoma City that's ridiculing his every move every time he's out there on the floor. Every time he draws a foul, even if it's a legit foul, he's going to get booed. And yet he rises above it and had a good game seven. So this kind of goes back to the mentality of great players. You can't not care. It's not possible. You can survive and play in the NBA and be a random NBA player and just be so gifted athletically that you can float on that and make some money in the league. But you can't be the best player in the league. And I think, you know, for Shea, clearly, this guy has to be locked in so many different ways for him to be able to rise above that is a testament to him, I will say. And listen, I've never been like a guy that just absolutely is against Shea. I'm against the rules that allowed Shea to become Shea. I still think he could be good enough to be. Is he an MVP without all the free throws? I mean, the shooting percentage, and we've joked about it, and he's still going to end up with 30, but 10 to 12 of those points every night are going to be at the free throw line. I mean, he starts every game before the opening tip. You know he's going to have 10 to 12 points just because he's going to get to the line that many times. He's mastered the art. But when does it start to bother him? Does he actually change the way he plays basketball? Will he actually change in the offseason? If he cares about his reputation that much, he might. He might not fall as much. I saw a few games in that Western Conference Finals where I did see less of the just obvious foul-seeking, foul-hunting, and just an immediate drop. I think he got back to that in Game 7, which is also why he had a better game. But it's amazing that guys like Bill Simmons, who follow this game closer than I do, are having the same kind of wonder, the same kind of question in their mind that maybe it could get to the guy over time. And it's fascinating. But again, if Adam Silver's not going to do anything about it, and you're winning MVPs, and you're a threat to win an NBA title for the next few years, why would you change your game? Unless the NBA actually comes in and makes it so. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you want to shoot us a text, you can call us at 970-353-1310. I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Summer is upon us. We are on the second day of June. They're going to have all your summer flavors available at On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. They got their free wine and beer tastings they do every single Friday at 4 o'clock. So there's your chance to try something new and probably delicious, and it might be your go-to this summer. On the Rocks Liquor, make your next celebration on the rocks. All right, Mike, coming back, I want to get more into this Colorado State story. Well, not really a story, but the predictions surrounding the Pac-12 and just how good or bad will Colorado State be based on the information we have. I think it's harder than ever to put together a real prediction, especially on June 2nd. So we'll get to that. Also, did the Broncos do enough? The Rams are the clear-cut favorite to win the Super Bowl, Mike. Where do the Broncos sit? We'll talk about it coming up next.
A free gift for dad this Father's Day? Make sure he subscribes to the best podcasts in the state. Find KFK podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfk.com. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310kfk.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
So are you like, are you just messing with me, or are you totally out on the new Pac-12? Or are you interested to see kind of what this is going to turn out to be? Because, Michael, it's a fascinating story. If the Pac-12 actually works out, and again, the grand scheme of things, who knows what works out really means, but if the Pac-12 can live comfortably in that between world where they're not a Power 4, but they're not a G5, somewhere in between, that would still be considered kind of a victory. And if they can do that, then you would look at it and say, Washington State and Oregon State were done. They were hanging on by a thread. They had their own media day. They just got together, hung out, drank wine, I don't know. And then they create this scheduling thing with the Mountain West. All the while, they're planning on poaching all their teams, saying, hey, we're not done. Pac-12's not done. We're creating this. We're gonna bring it back. We want you in. Risking knowing that the Mountain West was going to come after him for that. And then they ultimately kind of somewhat won that, too, because they settled on what is probably going to come out to be nothing more than just the exit fees that we see in conferences all over the place, which maybe they can just make up for that with the money they got from the teams that left the Pac-12. Is there a part of you that's interested in seeing that story through?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely interested. Washington plays Washington State every year.
Not just because of that.
Oregon State plays Oregon every year.
Don't do your little weird
formula.
Don't do your weird little fanboy thing.
Formula is important.
Just a story aside from who the hell cares who Washington plays. Who cares? But just the story in and of itself. I think it's fascinating.
I would like to see. I wish they would rename it because this is not the real Pac-12.
Conference of Champions. It's a Conference of Champions, Mike.
No, it's not.
Well, it's going to be.
I mean, they're going to call it the Conference of Champions, but how many championships have Washington State and Oregon State won? Maybe Oregon State and baseball.
Boise State's won a lot of Mountain West championships that they're bringing to the table. So there's a champion in their conference.
Yeah, but like we're talking about football championship. We're talking about basketball championship. Neither.
Basketball's going to be really good. Basketball's going to be good.
Hopefully the Pac-12 will be good, so that helps out my teams. And also,
I don't care. Nobody cares about you. Stop with that. Holy, it helps out my teams. Golly. Do you ever just
be called the Mountain Pack.
Do you ever just stop throwing up fanboy? Do you ever just stop throwing up fanboy?
I'm calling it the Mountain Pack.
No, and I'm calling you, you know, little boy junior fanboy. Every time you call it the Mountain Pack, I will call you little boy junior fanboy. Because it's all you think about is how my team's going to win the next. I mean, come on. This story is interesting whether or not they're playing Washington or not.
It is interesting. I don't think they're going to be very strong in football for a very long time. There's going to have to be some great recruiting or they're going to have to cheat.
Well, in recruiting, I mean, it's all transfer portal stuff, Mike. There's the amount of players that we're looking at and getting excited about that are straight out from high school. Obviously, that's decreasing. It was always kind of low anyway, but it's all about what your transfer situation looks like.
Yeah, but who wants to transfer to Fresno State? Ooh, Fresno State. We're known for having gangs in our community. Yay.
What are we talking about here? What are you do? What? Why? Why is this stuff that needs to be said from you? Why do I have to deal with that?
They're not destination places. CSU is probably a decent destination place.
But you have proof. Like you're sitting here saying Fresno State's just gang riddled. Based on what?
Based on the fact that there is a gang in Fresno named the Bulldog Gang.
Okay.
And this is not me being all Raider fans or gang members. This is like.
Know why people like when you say stuff like that. It's just so, like, no one knows where you're coming from. Like, give me a real football reason. Now, if you're telling me crime is so bad around Fresno State that legitimately keeps people from going there, then maybe, but this really has nothing to do with our conversation.
I just feel like all those schools, like, you're going to get people a lot of gangs who want Boise to State. Play, but you're not going to get those top guys.
You get guys that might want to play today.
Hey,
instead of playing tomorrow, they might want to play today.
More power to you. If you think you can go to CSU and win that starting job, not go to Texas and sit on the bench for 3 years and then
make the playoffs.
Yeah, like you can hopefully for them. Hopefully, teams will go. You'll get more of the attitude. I want to play today.
So like
I want to make
so
money today.
Like Haas Haney's story, Michael, who I think will probably be the starting quarterback for CSU. He went to TCU, then he transferred to Oklahoma State, and he was supposed to be the guy there. Now, I know Oklahoma State wasn't very good, but still, it's a Power 4 team. He was supposed to be the guy, and then he got hurt. So then he transferred to CSU. My question is why? If he was, and I seriously just watched a podcast this morning with the, come on. The 3-point podcast? It's actually really good. I need to get the actual name of it. And they basically, they go over every conference. Every conference. Power 4, G5, whatever's in between. And they break it. They don't get into like major specifics on June 2nd, but they get into a lot of it. And they were talking about Haas Haney. And obviously, we kind of know his background. TCU, Oklahoma State, supposed to be the guy, gets hurt. Now transfers to Colorado State. So my question would be, just like my question for Jim Mora when we had him on the show not long ago, is why here? And for Jim Mora, who his name was actually up for other Power 4 jobs, Mike. His name was up for other Power 4 jobs. Now, would he have actually been hired for a Power 4 school? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe
not. Depends on the school.
Sure.
Washington wouldn't hire him. Actually, no, Washington.
No more. I don't care. Nobody in this that listens to this show, that I'm shaking the table because you're making me so mad. Nobody cares, Michael. Nobody is caring about Washington unless we get Jim Mora on. Oh, wait, he doesn't care about Washington anymore either because he's the CSU head coach. Does something to get my attention, I'll care.
I think that hiring was a great hire. I wish they had hired him years ago. I think working for the college that he did a number of years ago, like they're not the best at football. They're more of a basketball school than football. But like,
yeah, what
I think
he did there was pretty
valuable
damn impressive.
Back then. It wasn't his fault they started to suck.
Who?
UCLA.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I thought he was all right at UCLA, and then yeah, things just kind of got bad. But what he did at UConn was amazing.
And that's UConn.
Right.
UConn, not known for football.
Not giving,
UConn,
and not
an
giving
even bigger basketball
and not,
school,
and not giving a lot of resources to football. So I think that's where the hopes are for CSU. Now, listen, we don't know this roster very well. We know names. We know names that Kevin Lytle has told us. And I went out to one spring practice this year. And people are like, what did you make of the team?
Spring practice.
Spring practice, man. They're throwing balls and shorts, and they're running around and catching footballs and hitting sleds. And there's
practice.
Some speed out there. They're all fast. I mean, they're Division I athletes. Big Hub says, so will CSU ever play CU again? Well, yeah, they're supposed to play again, Mike.
Yeah, I thought it was 2028.
Yeah, 2028's the next game. They have several games slated. 2029 at Fort Collins, 2030 at Boulder, 2033 at Boulder, 2034 at Colorado State, 2037 at Boulder, and 2038. So, yeah. But that's today. Who knows? Who knows what happens in the next few years of... That's slated in both their schedules, though. So, yeah, they are supposed to play. It's going to feel a lot more like the Rocky Mountain Showdown's back once we hit 2029. Then they'll play 2 years in a row and then 3 years off and then 3 years in a row or 2 years in a row and then 3 years off and then 2 years in a row. So I don't know where I'll be at that time, Michael. The rate this is going, you and I will be bagging groceries somewhere. Not that that's bad. It's just, you know, we had it all here at one point, Mike.
I will always have it all.
No. Big Hub says, what about Wyoming? That's first game of the season. But I don't know about beyond that. Honestly, I don't know about beyond that.
Well, they've said they want to keep going. And I think both schools want to keep going. There's a passionate dislike on either side.
No, they have
so
to keep
it
that
would behoove
going.
Them to make it happen.
Yeah, they play September 5th. And we got the Border War, which is going to be a huge matchup. CSU got smoked by Wyoming last year, 28-0.
The B-O-R-D? Board? No, B-O-R-E-D.
Wait, stop with your elitist attitude.
I'm sorry, but CSU was so terrible, it was boring.
Wyoming put together 28 points, Mike. That was exciting for Wyoming. I'm sure they didn't think it was boring.
But the rest of the country thought it was.
I like to watch the Mount West. I actually really enjoyed watching Mount West football. So sue me. I like watching a lot of the big boys play too, but I enjoyed watching the Mount West. So I'm going to be excited about this Pac-12. It looks like Boise State is the clear-cut favorite to win this conference, just like they've been the clear-cut favorite to win the Mountain West for the last 4 million years, it seems like.
At what point will they be poached by the Big Pack?
They won't be because they don't have the market. I don't think they have the market.
But if they're good enough. I mean, they're
good
enough to draw an ESPN game of their own.
But then you risk going and being the little guy. Small fish in a big pond. That's what they would be. And that's why, like, the whole thing kind of going back to this, like, Jim Mora, why is it Colorado State instead of Oklahoma State? I don't know if that was an actual job for him, but play along. If he goes to Oklahoma State today, what gives him the better chance today to get into the college football playoffs next season? Oklahoma State or CSU?
The easier path with the less quality teams,
CSU.
In Colorado State.
Yeah.
Also, CSU has a nice mountain.
So, Haas Haney, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but this guy went to TCU. He goes to Oklahoma State. What gives him his best path to be a starting quarterback for a potential playoff team?
And I'd like to see more of that.
I think
players should have that attitude more.
That's what I said from the beginning of all of this. with NIL, with more playoff teams, is you might have a chance to get higher caliber players go to some of these smaller schools or less popular schools in lesser conferences and go for a year, two, or three, or they're recycled players that went to the TCUs, did the Oklahoma State thing, and decided, hey, I can go be the starting quarterback for CSU, and that path to get to those playoffs would increase my draft stock, would increase my chances. If I get in the playoffs, if you're a playoff quarterback and you're decent, doesn't that help your draft stock? It would just be conventional wisdom. And then if you actually show out on one of those games, in one of those playoff games, and you're good, even if you lose, but you're good, your stock just went up. As opposed to never getting that chance if you were a quarterback for Oklahoma State and you played some tough games, but you got smoked, and then you never got to sniff the playoffs. That's what I believe, still to my core, is what could happen nationwide if we let it breathe long enough. I just don't know that we'll let it breathe long enough. I don't know that we'll have that, because I think the way everything's moving so quickly. Now, if Congress stepping in with this plan, the save the sports or whatever it is.
More like ruin the sports.
Do you think it's going to ruin it? You don't like any of the ideas?
I like some of the ideas, but I think in execution it will not work because, well, I mean, government loves its red tape.
I mean, a lot of this is what is the red tape that the NFL has. A lot of this is what professional sports
have. The NFL knows how to do things correctly. The government just doesn't.
Well, again, what are your options? Let the NCAA continue to do what they're doing? And screw, because they're screwing it. The rate we're going right now is it's only going to get worse. So I'm not a big government overstepper either. But it's also like, what are we going to do? Because there's ideas out there. You got everybody with a different idea. Let's read some texts. Weld County Swami chiming in on the First Advantage text line. Doesn't that argue against your point of wanting little guys in the playoffs? What do you mean? If the best of the little guys are filled with guys who couldn't make it at the big programs, how would they compete? Well, no. Haas Haney can make it at the big programs. He just can't make it at the best of the big program. And again, I'm saying that. I don't know. I don't know much about the guy, but that's what it is. If he was that good, he'd be that good. You know what I mean? He'd be somewhere else. No, I want the little guys in the playoffs. Not a lot of them, but a couple of them.
I'd like to see them earn it.
And I think through this plan, they would. Top 24.
Top 24 would be awesome. Yeah. I would totally root for Rutgers to win the national championship if they make it in the top 24.
But we're not doing that. It's still going to be the conference champion kind of thing. They're going to do a best G5 champ's going to have a guaranteed spot in, which odds are they're probably going to be a top 24 team anyway, Mike.
Yeah, which I like.
So then, yeah, we can both be happy in that world. Now, when it gets sticky is when they're actually like 27 and there's not a G5 school in the top 25, but yet somebody's still getting in. I think you have to be top 25. So keep the rules in place. But if you're not top 25, that rule changes. It's like I'm going to be Adam Silver here and we're going to flip everything around, be really confusing about it. You got to at least be top 25. But they probably won't. I don't know. Because like, odds are you had two G5 schools in the top 25 last year. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, but they went to the playoffs and didn't deserve to go to the playoffs because they weren't ranked high enough. You had
They
Notre
deserved
Dame
it based on
out.
The rules. You were just agreeing with Mark Johnson yesterday on his Mike Leach take about the Hall of Fame, saying Mike Leach probably doesn't deserve the Hall of Fame because these are the rules and they're going to change the rules for Mike Leach to get in. Those were the rules in place for Tulane and James Madison to get in. So you can't talk out both sides of your mouth. Those were the rules in place, so they did deserve to get in. Those were the rules.
No. They didn't deserve it. The rules gave them preferential treatment over teams that earned it.
Those were the rules, Mike.
Bad rules.
They're not bad rules. The NFL makes it doing that kind of thing. And you hate that, but everyone else is fine.
Yeah.
Win your division. That's what it's all about. Then why,
yeah, win your
why
sucky
have,
division,
then why
Carolina.
Have conferences and divisions in the first place if you're not going to honor the system?
You definitely shouldn't get home field advantage.
I think they should get everything. I think they should give them money just for being a playoff team. Although
well,
they
don't
do.
They already yeah, get they money do. Just for yeah. being crappy?
I think they should give them more. I think they should. If you are worse, if you're in a lesser conference, you should get more money. I'm joking on that one. I don't agree with that. But you're just such a football. Your attitude is why this whole thing's going to almost cuss to crap in a handbasket. That's your attitude. That's why this thing's going the way it is because the SEC is a bunch of football elitists, and they don't like playing, sharing some of the pie because they just want to go and do their own thing, or either that or you follow our rules, everything we put in place. I would be really interested if the SEC actually does end up drifting away. But I digress. The point is, it doesn't look like CSU's projected to do very well, but the good news on that is nobody knows. I mean, I'll start doing some deep research on all of the Pac-12 to 8 teams and give my thoughts there based on any information we can gather. But in 2026, it is harder to do projections, all that stuff, harder than it's ever been, Mike. Would you agree with that at least?
It's pretty tough.
Yeah. Because, again, Haas Haney, name sounds good. Why is he here? Like that's what good player. Why is he here? Like that's what we're gonna do.
That's what you need more of. You need more people to change the attitude. I've been recruited by Alabama. Oh, but I've been sitting here on the bench for 3 years because I'm not better than the people ahead of me.
Or I'm told that right off the bat, if they're honest. Like, hey, we're gonna bring you in, man, but you got Billy and John in front of you. So
you're gonna have to compete with them.
You're gonna compete. You got to compete, and realistically, you're probably competing for 4 or 5 spot here and for the next year. And then we'll try to get you into that third-string role. And then the third year, that's the hope, man. That's the plan. You stay on our plan, you're going to be the starting quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide, bro.
And then a lot of times, it doesn't work out.
So do you want to risk that now? Or do you want to go to CSU, and maybe you're in the mix for third-string quarterback freshman year, and then you're in the mix for starting quarterback the following year? Or who the hell knows?
Maybe
you take over as a freshman. Yeah.
Maybe you're a freshman and you're so good you can start at CSU, where if you went to Alabama, you'd be third string.
Yeah. That's what I said from the beginning of all this, that I believed that's what we would see. And I think we might. And I think Jim Mora's case, and I know that's as a head coach, but I think that's case in point. Because everything I've read is that Jim Mora could have had all these other opportunities. They just weren't going to be a real clear path.
He just wanted CSU Mora, I guess.
I don't like the things that you say sometimes.
No, you guys have been making the Mora joke. I made
it's
it first,
when
and you
I
guys
it.
Took it over.
No, you didn't. You were not the only person to come up with that. You think you're so superior making jokes up.
The
half
first
your jokes,
year at the station.
The reason your jokes aren't funny is because you make all of the jokes that have been out for 477 years, and then you're like, hey, I just came up with this pun, and it's like, we've already heard that. It's not funny.
Yeah, but you guys weren't using it until I used it.
I use it all the time.
What does that say?
I use it all the time. All the time, Michael. But yeah, that's CSU's hopes right now is basically what Bill Conley writes, is that the hope for CSU, quote, new coach brings tons of his former players with him formula. And that's where it is. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado. And you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
All right, new happy hour deals announced at Big City Roadhouse Monday through Friday. House liquor, house wine, all pints, margaritas, $1.50 off every Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 p.m. Happy hour starting a little early there, Michael. Good for me because I have to deal with you until 2, and then I can take advantage of happy hour over at Big City Roadhouse. They have great
Jeez,
deals.
Jeez, man, it's happy without me.
Saturday discounted pints, 10 to 2 o'clock. Sunday discounted pints all day. Margarita Monday, happy hour margaritas all day. And Tuesday, which is what is today, Michael, Uncork Tuesday, half price bottles of wine that are $30 or more. Yeah. Yeah. What?
So is that the entire bottle or just the glass? Because I know
bottles
you're going to try to drive
wine.
The price up on me.
Half price bottles of wine. So you want to buy me a bottle of wine, Michael, when we go out on our big bro date?
I'm just saying, like, I know you're going to be like, I want the lobster and the shrimp on my burger, and I want it well done.
I want a lobster burger.
Because Mike is paying.
And I won't even eat it. I will throw it in the trash, but I will order it 48 minutes after the hour. What did we learn? Bad news for the Avs. We'll get to that coming up next.
Want a free gift for Dad this Father's Day? Make sure he subscribes to the best podcasts in the state. Find KFKA Podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFKA.com. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this second day of June? We learned that Chris McFarlane is going to greener pastures?
Well, yellow and bluer.
Yeah, but he's going to be like the president of operations and GM, which is now what Joe Sakic will be for the Avalanche. So, now what does that mean for Jared Bednar? Everyone you're following on Twitter that's in the know would probably tell you, Jared Bednar's safe. Mike, I think you and I are both cool with that. Might regret it, but we're cool with that today.
Yeah, he's cool until the end of his contract. Then there's going to be some discussion.
We learned that CSU's picked to finish bottom of the barrel by Bill Conley in ESPN, who's in the know, who knows his stuff, but also is kind of willing to admit that a lot of this is just based on last year and the way they played and the returners and Jim Mora and all that stuff. So it's a crapshoot. I don't think CSU's going to finish last. Let me just tell you that. They're not going to finish last.
I don't think so either. No. They're going to have Mora wins.
They're going to have moral victories. Probably. Stop, Mike. Take a break. Take a break. Take some time. Skip some rocks. Think about how you can be better tomorrow.
I can't do it.
You'll just try. You can't think or you can't be better. Which one?
I can't. I'm already better.
You're something. All right, that'll do it for us. Rockies tonight. Win number 24 coming up for Colorado. We'll find out. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.